The Thanksgiving season is full of different aspects that we could explore from a psychological perspective, and we will get through a few of them, but I want to start with what really matters, which is how can I avoid offending my relatives during Thanksgiving dinner?
Sure, that's a big one, yes. And, you know, being around the Thanksgiving table, you know, we often encounter people with very different views than our own. And, you know, we kind of get the nexus of tricky subjects all coming together. You know, politics, religion, sometimes you throw in sex and you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And, you know, I think there isn't one magic secret to this, but I think there is some area in psychology or research in psychology that can help us understand maybe how best to approach those conversations. And it actually is pretty simple. We should try not to be right. And instead, you know, approach the time as a way of trying to understand and appreciate someone's perspective, even if it's different than your own.
But isn't that the whole point of having these holiday conversations with our in-laws, is to be right?
Well, of course. And being right is powerful. It's a reinforcer. We love being right. And being right a lot of the time works for us. Certainly, you know, I tell my students, you want to be right in the classroom. That's good. And maybe being willing to let go of it a bit could open up a different possibility. So, you know, I guess the challenge for you, for our listeners, and for myself getting ready to sit down at the table later this week is to go in maybe looking towards not being right, but trying to understand, to see the world through someone else's perspective. And this is actually part of a broader movement in psychology. The idea of, for example, cultural humility, being okay with not knowing, recognizing that other people have different backgrounds, traditions, values, and that, you know, our job isn't necessarily to convince someone that our perspective is the right way to see the world, but instead to try to gain a sense of appreciation for how they might view the world, what matters to them, and what they see as important, as scary, as exciting, and recognize that that might be different than how we view the world.
I bet a lot of people enter into these types of conversations with an expectation of kind of combativeness, and I think it could be disarming if instead you ask them to explain their position or to try to meet you halfway.
Sure, exactly. And then sort of what matters to you in the world. And you know, and that might bring us to our second topic. Instead of talking just about the state of the world and right and wrong and then political sort of, you know, pursuits, instead talk about what you're thankful for. Of course, you know, that's the spirit of the holiday that we talk about, is this idea of thankfulness, but that often gets left out, certainly at the dinner table when we're arguing over politics and other things. You know, instead of trying to convince others or, you know, share your perspective, instead maybe focus on sharing what matters to you and maybe, you know, what sort of things in your life, big and especially small, are you thankful for?
When I was younger, Thanksgiving was not the holiday that I looked forward to the most. It was the annoying one between Halloween and Christmas. But
right.
I think as we get older, the very idea that there is a holiday in which we are supposed to reflect and give thanks is really a good thing.
Well, absolutely. And you know, in its own sake, for sure, but it also confers quite a bit of psychological benefit. There's a whole field of psychology now focused on gratitude and thankfulness. And what we know is that, you know, gratitude is essential for psychological and physical health. You know, when you look at sort of happiness, some of it is predetermined. They're genetic contributors to happiness. Some of happiness is what you get in the world, an external environment outside of your control. But a good bit of it is how you relate to your own experiences. And gratitude and thankfulness is something you can cultivate. So we know that, for example, starting in the early 90s and some research protocols where folks would come in and write about, expressively write about things that were difficult to them, things that mattered to them, shared their emotions, shared their feelings, shared what mattered, they had psychological benefits. And the more detailed and the more sort of personal these writings were, the more benefit they received. So I think there's something psychologically powerful about slowing down and being thankful for things in our lives that matter to us.
I bet there are people listening now who think that being more grateful would be a good attribute to have, but maybe they're not at this point an especially grateful person. Are there some first steps that one can take?
Sure. It's, you know, it's like riding a bike or any other skill. It's about practice, and you don't have to start big. And in fact, some of the research on gratitude suggests that smaller moments of gratitude are more powerful. It's the small moments. So sure, Thanksgiving one day a year, it's a big moment to try, but it could also be the first day just to practice, right? To go about finding one thing in that day that you're grateful for, maybe the weather, maybe it's you're grateful for the fact that there's such rich, diverse perspectives at the table, and then that's exciting, that it's never a dull moment. Or maybe you're grateful for, you know, someone who went a little bit extra that year to bring something to the table. It could be something really small. But, you know, that's the thing you can cultivate and practice every day. And you know, that kind of brings us to, you know, a final thing in this week, and especially around the holidays. It gets very busy and hectic, Part of being grateful is also finding time just to slow down and be present. And I think this is a skill that is tricky, it's challenging, it's precisely when we don't think we have time for it or it won't work is when it's most useful. But simply the act of slowing down, taking a breath, noticing what's around you, and then maybe then even noticing a bit of gratitude in that can have enormous psychological benefit as well.
So instead of stressing out about all the food you're going to prepare and how you're going to balance the conversation with all of your guests, appreciate the fact that you have these family and friends to share this experience with.
Yeah, and that, you know, the meal will be fine as it is. And it's not Thanksgiving without a story about the gravy that barely made it to the table or you forgot to turn the oven on. That's a true story from my family just a few years ago. We came back after, you know, several hours kind of walking and out in nature and came back and the house didn't smell like much. We realized the oven was still off. So we were grateful to have dinner just a few hours later than planned, you know. And it turns out that, you know, often it's that stress is that idea of perfection. Everything has to be perfect. Everything must go exactly as planned. But sometimes, you know, the exciting moments in life are not those scripted planned ones. Instead, it's finding those small moments, maybe a connection with a relative or a neighbor or a friend who's at the table that you wouldn't have had that conversation had everything gone perfectly. And just the ability that, you know, when we're around family and friends and, you know, holidays can be stressful, taking a moment or two to ourselves can also be powerful. And I'm not saying, you know, drive away or, you know, leave for hours on end, but even just 2 or 3 minutes of breathing, centering yourself, getting back to that conversation can have a huge positive effect for your mental health.